Hello and welcome to another virtual author and publisher event at the Poison Pen Bookstore. I'm John Charles, and today I'm delighted to have with us two of the hardest working and most knowledgeable professionals in publishing, Vita Engstrand, I hope I got that right, and Larissa
You sure
Axel,
did.
who are going to share with us some wonderful new books and books in the future, because as a reader, you could never have too many things on your to-be-read list. I'd like to thank them both for taking time to share with us today. For you tuning in, grab a pencil, a piece of paper, get ready to jot down notes on what's coming your way in terms of mystery, suspense, and more. Now I'm going to turn it over to Larissa and Vita.
Hello, everyone. Let me get my screen shared here because we thought, why would you want to, you know, we're not going to make you just look at our faces through this. We'll show you some really fabulous book covers. So thank you so much for joining us. We're here from Kensington, and we're really excited to tell you about some of our upcoming titles. I've been having a few issues with my computer, so apologies for the lack of full screen on these slides. But we just will let you know, you can find us on social media. We have a online book club called Between the Chapters on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, X, wherever you want to find us, we're there. And we always do lots of fun giveaways, so we hope you'll come join us. We're going through these quickly. I'm thinking afterwards we will send these slides over to John Charles and Poison Pen, so hopefully they can make these links available to anyone who wants to catch them after the fact and not trying to do screenshots.
Sure.
We also have several newsletters. So we'll provide you with a link where you can sign up for our newsletter if you want to hear about other titles that we have coming out down the line. And you can sign up for genre specific information. And again, we do lots of fun giveaways there. So we are going to tell you about our upcoming mysteries and thrillers in kind of thematic groups. And to kick us off is one of our most fun groups of mysteries and thrillers.
Kensington Cozies.
So for anyone who doesn't know, I am considered the cozy queen at Kensington because I work on pretty much every single cozy mystery. There might be like one or two that I am not the campaign manager for. So if you ever have a question about cozy mysteries, or you're looking for some, you know, theme ideas or book club ideas, feel free to email me. I always have brainstorms. I'll probably send you like a 10 paragraph email about which cozy mysteries you can you can look at for themes. But yeah, so we are going to look at a little bit of our 2024 cozy mysteries coming up. And as you can see, that was just a little bit of our a little bit of selection of our huge cozy mystery publishing program for 2024. So the first book that I wanted to talk about was Murder in an Italian Village by Michael Falco. His real name is Michael Griffo. Michael Falco is a pen name. And this series is such a fun, it's so fun. First off, I love Michael. He always makes me laugh. I had the chance to be on an airplane with him for 2 hours after a cozy con, and it was the scariest flight ever, but it flew by so fast because he was so funny. And his book is the same way. He's just a really comical writer. It's cozy mystery, but his series is also like very madcap. This one is set in an Italian village. Obviously, it's the city, it's the village of Positano, Italy, on the Amalfi Coast. And the way he writes, he includes little bits and pieces of Italian language. So you really feel, just the way he writes about Italy, you just feel fully immersed in Italy, and you feel like you're right there. And it stars Bria Bartolucci. She's a B&B owner, and on the first day her B&B opens, of course there's a dead body, and then mystery solving ensues. The second one is coming out at the end of September 2024, and that one is Murder in an Italian Cafe, and it is just as fun as the first one. So I highly recommend picking up Murder in Italian Village, just, you know, for this time of year, like, it's so nice to just like sit Well, not you people in Scottsdale. You got nice weather all year round. But for any of our other watchers from other states, especially the Northeast or Midwest, I highly recommend picking up this book for some cozy fun in the sun while you're, you know, stuck in snow.
Talk about armchair travel wish fulfillment cozies.
Yeah.
And speaking of wish fulfillment for maybe some people who are tuning in.
Yes, so this is the Cannabis Cafe Mystery Series by Emily George. The first one is A Half-Baked Murder, and it's been out for about a year. And the second one is coming out in a little less than a month, and it is called A High Tide Murder. It's gotten really great reviews from the trades. Publishers Weekly gave it the first book a starred review. So it's set in a California cannabis bakery run by a Michelin star bakery. I don't know, what are they called, chefs? Mystery bakery chef. Yeah. And she decides to open this bakery because her grandma has cancer. And so she makes her grandma these cannabis brownies and treats to help relieve her pain. And her aunt tells her she should open up a bakery. She does, but then of course there's a dead body found nearby the bakery, and her kooky aunt is a suspect, so she has to solve the murder before her aunt gets in trouble.
And the fun thing about this series, I got is, I just have to interrupt and say, the fun thing about this series, this is the first ever cozy mystery series with a legal cannabis bakery theme to it. And
that's also true.
You know, as someone who doesn't personally partake, I am very interested in like CBD and sort of the medicinal properties. And you get a really fun mystery, but you also get all these fascinating and really timely, is sort of what everyone's talking about every time I meet up with friends, they're asking about like CBD, this or that. Get a lot of really great information in these books too. So it's the nonfiction hook for the really fun mystery.
Yeah. So even though it has the cannabis theme, a lot of her reviewers have said like it is still very much a cozy mystery at its heart. And there's also some recipes for everyone. There's cannabis bakery recipes, there's CBD recipes, and there's also just plain old recipes for anyone who doesn't want to partake in that or legally can't in their state. The next one is A Cyclist Guide to Crime and Croissants. I would try to pronounce that in the very French way.
Croissant.
I can't. By Anne Claire. You might recognize that name. She writes a really adorable series, which I believe is with Berkeley, about a bookshop at the top of a mountain. And she's continuing in that vein with Kensington, with a mystery that is set in the south of France. So it's very much like Michael Falco's An Armchair Travel Cozy. Just like this one is perfect for the beach if you're wishing that you're in the south of France, but you are at a beach in New Jersey or California instead, you can just read this book and soak in the sun and feel like you're in another country. So it's a very adorable, again, it's a very quintessential cozy mystery, but it's armchair travel as well. So I'm really excited for this one.
And that comes out a little later, on May 21st now. So this is...
Yeah, so this one's a little later, yeah. And, it looks like we have... Wait a minute. I was just about to talk about Nicholas George's The Deadly Walking Devin, but
I'm so excited about this series.
Oh my God, it's Nicholas George.
Wow! Hold on!
Here to talk about his book.
We have a special surprise guest who's just beamed in, happened to be in the virtual neighborhood.
Right. I just happened to be passing by. Here I am.
Nicholas George, thank you so much for joining us.
Can you see me?
We can. Loud and clear, we can see you too.
Well, good. I get a chance to talk about my book, and I'll tell you a little bit about how it came about, because it's kind of, I'm excited about it. The idea for the book came a few years ago when I was on a walk in England, which is something I really like to do. And I was on a group walk with a number of other people. And this was in the county of Devon in the southeast of England. Mm-hmm. And as I got to know my fellow walkers, I realized they were a lot of readers and they loved mysteries. And So when they found out I was a writer, one of them said, you know, Nick, you ought to write a murder mystery that takes place on one of these walks. And I think she was joking and we all laughed about it. But when I got home, I thought about it and I thought, you know, that might not be a bad idea. So I sat down and I hammered out the first draft of the first book, A Deadly Walk in Devon. And it was a bit of a challenge to adapt that to a mystery format, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun to do. And I used a lot of the locales that we visited on the walk and some of the characters as well. In the book itself, the main character is a former police detective from San Diego, and his name is Rick Chasen. And his friends call him Chase. And when the book begins, he is not in a good space. He's grieving the recent loss of his long-term partner who passed away close to a year before. So he's still dealing with grief and getting over that. And one of his walking partners through the years, a good friend named Billy, suggests that they go on a walk in England, and that would improve, that would lift his spirits and get him in a good mental space. So he agrees somewhat reluctantly to do it, but he does. And on the walk, of course, a murder happens and one of the walkers is killed. And that gives Chase the opportunity to kickstart his detective skills, which have been dormant for a while. Also on the walk, a romance starts to develop for Chase. And so maybe another chapter in his life is developing. We're not sure about that, but it is explored in the subsequent books in the series. And the series is called A Walk Through England Mystery Series. So that's the book. It'll be coming out on March 26th, but it can be pre-ordered now. I think you'll like it.
So get your pre-orders.
And Nicholas will be at a mystery event with the Poison Pen with a couple other authors on May 5th. So hopefully you'll come out to meet him in person in a few short months away. And Nicholas, even though you said it was difficult to put down onto paper, I must say reading that book, it did not feel like the first time book of a new author. I was from the first page to the last, I could never figure out the mystery and who murdered the guy, which I will say is probably the best written, like, guys that you just hate and want, he should be dead anyway. So he deserved to die. We'll just say that. He was a nasty figure. And I also just wanted to say, they stay at this beautiful hotel. They're stuck at this hotel for a whole week, basically, while this murder is, you know, trying to be solved. And I want to go there. Was it based on a real hotel that you were in? Because the way you described the wallpaper and the whole venue, I was like, I want to go here. It seems cozy.
It actually was.
Okay.
Actually based on a real hotel. I may have embellished a few things. But the layout of the hotel and the look of the hotel and the fact that it had a restaurant in the up the hill and back of it, all true. I wish I could
very cool
actual restaurant. I can't remember it offhand, but
you can email it to everyone later. But A Deadly Walk in Devon, it's a really great book. It was a really hard mystery for me to personally figure out, so I hope that everyone enjoys trying to figure it out too on March 26th.
Ooh, I love it.
Thank you, Nicholas, for joining us.
Thank you.
And, you know, this could be a 7-hour presentation and we would never get through all of our cozy mysteries coming out this year. We've got some great ones during the second half of the year. And Larissa included a slide to give you some previews of some covers that are not even, some of them aren't even released to the wild yet. So,
yeah. And a lot of those are first in series. We are publishing a lot of new cozy mystery series in 2024, and a lot of them are coming out in the second half of the year.
And then on this subject, while we're on the topic of cozies.
Yes, for any of our audience that is across the country and not just in Scottsdale, we have a couple of cozy cons coming up. There's one in March in Wisconsin, if anyone's brave enough to come through the snow to come to a CozyCon. We are having one on April 14th after Left Coast Crime for anyone who plans on attending that, and one in Groveland, Massachusetts, outside of Boston in May, and one in July TBD with Quail Ridge Bookstore. So keep a lookout for that one.
And no matter where you are, you can get your digital or print copies of our 2024 annual Kensington Cozies booklet, which is where you can get information on all the cozy mysteries that we have coming out. Also, just on the genre in general, if you're not really clear on what makes a cozy, you'll get all the information here. If you're looking for cozies by a particular theme, like baking cozies or you know, dog walking cozies, knitting cozies, Larissa has them all broken down by theme here and location, setting. So if you have a book club that likes mysteries, this booklet is a really great resource.
Yes, and if anyone wants print copies or just wants, you know, sent the digital version, just email me and I am happy to send.
And now we will transition to our next subgenre, which are historical mysteries and thrillers, which is something that I love. I'm a real historical fiction and historical mystery junkie. And this first one is another first in series. It comes out next month, February 20th, Murder by Lamplight by Patrice McDonough. This one is set in Victorian London in the winter. So freezing cold winter, 1866, a deadly cholera pandemic is burning its way through the city. And the series revolves around this trailblazing female physician. You know, very unusual to be a female physician in that time, who has teamed up with a real kind of grumpy, skeptical Scotland Yard detective. And the two of them are this very unlikely team who are find themselves having to hunt down a sadistic killer. This is a really dark, atmospheric, and historically rich mystery series. So if you are a fan of Andrea Penrose, if you're a fan of Deanna Raeburn, you're going to love this one. I'm clearly not a very coordinated person because here I am unable to talk and click PowerPoints at the same time. Our next one. So Kelsey James, technically these might not be saved and shelved in the mystery section in your bookstore. They're technically historical fiction. Kelsey James, her first book, The Woman in the Castello, which you'll see on the left there, came out this last summer. And this is a atmospheric, gothic, historical fiction, but with a real strong mystery thread. So we thought we would include it here. It takes place in 1960s Italy at the height of Hollywood on the Tiber. This is when all the Hollywood studios decided they wanted to make movies in Italy. So it was like the most glamorous time to be in Italy because people were just shooting films left and right. And the paparazzi culture was born. And it's a fun place to visit in the pages of this book. It revolves around this aspiring starlet from America who goes to Italy to get her big break. And that ends up being, she's cast as the lead in this really sort of enigmatic horror film that's being shot on location at this crumbling old medieval castle in this eerie village outside Rome. And so when she gets there on location on set with the other actors and directors and producers, some mysterious things start happening. So it's kind of like you've got a bit of a locked room element there. You've got the Italian glamour. You also have a romantic thread through it. It's a fun read. And I believe Poison Pen featured it over the summer as a historical fiction pick too. So there should be copies in the store still. We have a QR code here. If you want to learn a little bit more about this book, please feel free to scan it and go and check out our book club kit where we have lots of fun information about 1960s horror movies and Hollywood on the Tiber and backstory about Kelsey James herself. Nothing in there is a spoiler, so you can check that out. And if you like it, pick up the book too. And then looking way further out, this summer, we'll be publishing Kelsey's next novel, which is Secrets of Rosebriar Hall. And this takes us to a whole different time and place. This one is a a Gilded Age. It's set in Gilded Age Long Island, and it's a gothic homage to Gaslight, the movie starring Ingrid Bergman, which is actually coming out around the 80th anniversary of Gaslight, which was complete luck. But it revolves around a wealthy newlywed in early 20th century New York who becomes isolated in this like really opulent and ominously empty mansion by her charismatic and controlling new husband, who has told her that she, in a blackout, murdered someone at a party they just had. So she's having to figure out what's real, what's not, what did I really do that night at the party? And meanwhile, she's in this really creepy mansion. So it's a fun atmospheric read, and you can pre-order it now.
You know, it's a fabulous book.
Oh, have you already picked up?
I've read her first one and loved it. I cannot wait for the second one. They remind me a little bit of Elizabeth Peters and Barbara Michaels.
Yes. Good comps.
And for something a little on the lighter historical mystery side, Amanda Flowers To Slip the Bonds of Earth, which is about the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur. Turns out they have a sister, for real, and her name was Catherine. I had no idea she existed until I found out that Amanda was writing this new series with us, and it was really fascinating. I felt like I learned so much about this amazing, smart woman in history that, you know, is virtually unknown because her brothers were, you know, off discovering how to fly. So she was really important to both her brothers' lives, and she managed their bicycle shop while they were in Kitty Hawk. She managed their bicycle shop and was a teacher back home in Dayton, Ohio. So she was always super busy. And this book is about Catherine. It's around Christmas time. Orville and Wilbur are home from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to visit for Christmas. And their plans get lost at a party. And the person that stole the plans, of course, is found. What is it? Murdered? So it's up to Catherine to solve the mystery and try to find out why this man is murdered, why he stole the plans, and who has the plans now. Because after he gets murdered, the plans are missing. So someone else took them. So I was actually telling Vita the other day that when I was reading this, I felt like I was reading an adult version of an American Girl historical novel. I was a big American Girl fan. I read all of the books, and I felt like I was reading an adult mystery version of that. So if you were, this is like very, very, I don't even know the word for it, but it was just a really fun read. I learned a lot, and I think everyone will enjoy this little tiny slice of history.
And you're going to love the Wright sister. I mean, I'm a sucker for mysteries or for novels of any kind that that weave in real historical figures. So this one is just, it's perfect.
And Amanda Flower also writes two Amish series, with us, the Amish Candy Shop and the Amish Matchmaker Mystery Series. So if you enjoy her cozy mysteries already, you'll enjoy this book. She also writes the Emily Dickinson series, Mystery Series with Berkeley. So if you really like those books, you'll obviously enjoy her new Catherine Wright Mysteries with us.
An incredibly prolific writer. Oh my gosh. So this one is, we're looking a little bit further out here. We really weren't sure if we were going to tell you about this one because it seems unfair to talk about a book that comes out so far in the future. Daughter of Fair Verona by Christina Dodd. It doesn't come out until June 25th, but I strongly recommend you pre-order it because you will not be disappointed. Mm-hmm. If you like Knives Out, if you like Bridgerton, this is sort of like Knives Out meets Bridgerton, but in Fair Verona, Shakespeare's Fair Verona. It is the first in a frothy, irreverent, funny, witty new series, and it's got an irresistible presence. It's told from the very delightfully engaging point of view of Romeo and Juliet's clever, rebellious, fiercely independent teenage daughter. So Romeo and Juliet didn't die at the end of Romeo and Juliet. That was fake news. They got married, they lived happily ever after, they had kids, this picks up. Romeo and Juliet are in this joyful, very still loving middle age. They're those parents who are always doing PDA and grossing out their kids. And their oldest daughter is a teenager who now herself needs to start thinking about getting married. But she's a real rebel and is totally uninterested in that. Instead, she has decided to, she hasn't decided. Instead, she decides she's okay, I'll get married. They introduce her to the guy she's going to get married to. He is a real bummer. You wonder how she's going to get out of it. He turns up dead. And of course, now she has to find out why he is dead. I love the premise of this. And I love how Christina Dodd nails this voice. I mean, the book, I have like a little section from it. It starts off, I am the eldest daughter of Romeo and Juliet. Yes, that Romeo and Juliet. No, they didn't die in the tomb. They're alive and well and living in Fair Verona with their six wildly impetuous children and me, their 19-year-old daughter, Rosaline. So, I mean, she's just, her voice is perfect. Lots of crossover appeal here. So if you know someone who's not a big mystery reader but loves historical fiction, they will be into this. If you know someone who's not a big historical fiction or mystery reader but like something with a touch of romance, we've got a touch of romance too. And it's just a really fun read. You have to check it out. Giveaways for this too. So if you want to check out this link, you can sign up to get a Daughter of Fair Verona influencer kit. We'll be sending out fun stickers. If you're in a book club, if you have a blog, if you post reviews on Instagram, fill out the form. We'll send you some goodies and the book so we can start talking about it nice and early on.
And I hope John Charles doesn't mind me saying that I know he's excited about this one.
I am. And I just wanted to say, even if you've never read Romeo and Juliet or hated reading Romeo and Juliet in high school, you still will love Christina Dodd's take on it. It's that much fun.
Absolutely.
That's a very good point.
And now is that Colleen Cambridge I see on my screen right there?
Hello, am I on? Can you see me?
You are. Hello. Yeah. Wow, what a surprise.
Hey, everyone.
Can you talk about your new book?
I'd love to. So this is the first book in my An American in Paris series, and this is about a young woman who goes to Paris after World War II. She worked as a Rosie the Riveter in the Willow Run bomber plant, and she ends up moving to Paris to live with her grandfather. And she meets another American expat who lives across the street, and her name happens to be Julia Child. And one day, they're going to the market together, and they come back from the market, and they go into Julia's apartment building, and they walk in, and somebody's screaming because they found a dead body in Julia Child's apartment building, and Julia Child's chef's knife, her bloody chef's knife, is lying on the floor next to the body. Spoiler alert, Julia Child did not murder anybody. But it's up to Tabitha Knight, my main character, to help figure out who actually did. And in the meantime, Julia is teaching her how to cook. Now, the second book in this series is coming out at the end of April, and I will be at the Poison Pen along with Nicholas George on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. So if y'all can come and see us before you go out for margaritas and tacos, or maybe we'll go with you for margaritas and tacos. I don't know. If you're wondering what I'm holding in my hand here, this is the Killer Royale, my cocktail that I created to go with the second book, which is coming out at the end of April. It's called A Murder Most French. And you can see right now on the screen the little recipe cards, but they do also have the recipe cards in at Poison Pen right now. So when you go in to pick up your copy of Mastering the Art of French Murder, you can also pick up the cocktail recipe and pre-order the second book in the series, which is all about wine. Julia Child and my main character, Tabitha Knight, are at a cooking demonstration, and a very famous chef is demonstrating how to make this entire meal, which is what they would do at Le Cordon Bleu, and Julia would go to these events, and she drags Tabitha with her, and lo and behold, the guy opens this bottle of wine, pours the glass, sniffs it, does a weird double take, but drinks it anyway, Anyway, and he dies right in front
Who hasn't done that? It's
a very expensive, rare bottle of wine, and there's no way he's not going to taste it. You know, he's going to smell it, and he's going to think, okay, maybe I'm just smelling something weird. But he's, you know, at that time, it's like a $300 bottle of wine. He's going to taste it. So he dies, and he's not the only person who dies. So that's the second book in the series that comes out, like I said, the end of April. The first book's out already, and I just want to say really quickly, A, I'm really glad Romeo and Juliet didn't die. B, I had a chance to read Murder by Lamplight, and I loved it. And people who like Scarlet, Miss Scarlet and the Duke will love it. C, Kelsey's books, they are exactly, like, if you like Elizabeth Peters and Barbara Michaels, totally up your alley. Love the Gothic vibe. And I also got to read Amanda Flower's book, and I'm absolutely in love with Catherine Wright. So go forth.
Holy cow. We should have had you do this presentation.
Oh man, yeah, Colleen, why don't you tell us?
I get lucky. I get to read the book, some of them ahead of time. I do want to remind everybody, if you're interested, scan the QR code for the book club kit for the French murder books. And hopefully you'll come and see me and Nicholas George and a couple other people, including Erica Ruth Neubauer, on Cinco de Mayo at the Poison Pen. Hope to see you all there.
Okay, yes, that is going to be a really fun event.
We'll have to go. Be a blast.
We're not supposed to have favorite authors at the Poison Pen, but I have to say Colleen probably is my favorite.
Thank you, John. John and I go way, way back, and I just appreciate that very much. And I'm so excited to go back and see everybody again. I appreciate that, John.
Have you coming?
Thanks. You're making me blush.
That's just your drink, Colleen.
Probably is my drink, I know. And if you don't like to imbibe, there is a mocktail recipe. So don't feel
there
like...
There is.
Yes, there's a mocktail and a regular recipe, either one, and they're both bubbly. I mean, you can't go wrong with bubbly.
Yeah.
Yes, so for anyone who can't get to the Poison Pen in person, you're more than welcome to email me for some of the recipe cards for the Killer Royale.
And if you download that book club kit for the French murder books, you can get the recipes for the specialty cocktail that goes with The Art of French Murder, the first book.
That is true.
Yes, which is called The French Murder 75. You've maybe had a French 75. It's the French Murder 75. So.
And there's also a mocktail recipe for that one as well.
Yes. And can we just say that that was served at a Julia Child event in California last year?
It was.
That's still
75 was so. If it's good enough for the Julia Child people, you probably can serve it at your own parties.
Yeah. We've got the sign off from the Julia Child people. Thank you so much, Colleen.
Thanks for having me.
So fun having an author talk about the books instead of listen me banging on forever. And I love the Julia Child series. Love so fun to hear about it. And then we included just a peek at some of our other historical mysteries and thrillers that are coming out during the second half of 2024. So if we are ever invited to come back, we will talk about these books. Oh. Otherwise, please join us online and you can get more information about them there.
I know that, again, I know that John Charles is particularly excited about Vanessa Kelly coming.
Yes.
To Kensington's mystery program and writing a historical mystery for us based on Emma by Jane Austen.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Vanessa Kelly, for those of you who aren't aware, is a romance writer who's been writing historical romance she's very well known in the historical romance world. And we've been publishing her forever. Her historical romances are marvelous and they always have like a little bit of intrigue in them. And some brilliant editor had this idea of, well, why don't we just lean into the intrigue and do historical mystery? So having Vanessa Kelly come to the mystery side is going to be very exciting. Her book, Murder in Highbury, comes out this fall.
And I'm sure a few of you recognize Diane Freeman and Rosemary Simpson, who are continuing their series with us. So their books will be available in the later half of 2024 as well.
All right, so now we shall move on to our next subgenre, which is we threw a few things in here, but mysteries, suspense, and thrillers. So these are contemporary set. And Oh, the first one we're talking about is perhaps some of you know her from her cozy mysteries, but don't think cozy as Larissa tells you about these.
Yes. So, yeah, she does write the Irish Village Mysteries. The next one is Murder at an Irish Tripper, and they leave the city or the village of Kilbane to go on a little seaside adventure. And of course, there is a murder in a fish and chips shop. Over a curry sauce, a secret curry sauce for the fish and chips. Of course, always very, very well done. Carlene O'Connor is fantastic, and I personally believe one of the best cozy mystery writers out there today. So if you haven't picked up her series, I highly recommend that you do so. But moving on, she has also started writing a darker mystery series with us, starring Dimpna Wilde, who is an Irish vet. So again, it is set in Ireland, and this time the series is set in Dingle. And No Strangers Here is our introduction to Dimpna and Detective Inspector Cormick. His last name's escaping me right now. Both books have been getting a ton of starred trade reviews, and words just can't describe how good this series is. You just have to pick it up. It's like All Creatures Great and Small meets a murder.
Like dark and, I mean, dark and gritty. It's more like Shetland or Vera, the TV series. Very.
I've gotten a lot of comparisons from people to Broadchurch. I feel like it's very Tana French-esque when I read these books. They're just like, she's just such an amazing writer that I like truly, no matter what, just can't describe how good these books are. She was at the Poison Pen back in December, so there are a couple signed copies available of Some of Us Are Looking at the Poison Pen from when I last checked on the website, which was 2 days ago.
While supplies last.
While supplies last. Folks, you know, I could not speak in an Irish accent. Like, if you gave me $1 million, I just can't do the Irish accent. But as you are reading these books, you will find yourself reading in an Irish accent, which is a very
experience. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Carlene O'Connor also visits the Poison Pen, I would say, once, sometimes twice a year. So keep an eye out, because she will likely be at the Poison Pen at some point in 2024.
We just invite ourselves over. And our
audience. Do, yeah.
We're coming over.
We love it.
Who to Believe by Edwin Hill. Larissa, do you want... So Edwin Hill is one of these authors that we have all kind of worked with and taken under our wing because we all love him so much. But Larissa, do you want to talk about his newest book?
Yeah, so Edwin Hill is... he has been described by plenty of places, Mystery Scene Magazine, Publishers Weekly, Olene Cogdill from the Sun Sentinel in Florida, that he is a writer to watch, and he continues to stay a writer to watch. Who to Believe is a standalone thriller about, over the course of a night or a couple of days, and the story keeps switching back between these six people over a murder. And this book has received I think 2 starred reviews from the trades, which is like phenomenal. It's crazy to even get one. And Edwin always gets like 1 or 2 for every single one of his books. And this one has gotten 2. He's just a really brilliant writer. And very atmospheric. He just continues to always surprise me with every story. They always end up being much more twisted than I expected. So highly recommend picking it up. This book comes out tomorrow.
And you've got a strong sense of like suburban noir in this.
He book. Does.
It takes place in a suburb of Boston. So it's like a very New England town. And it revolves around this, you know, this tight-knit group of friends. But the tone is very kind of Ruth Ware or Liane Moriarty. It's very... I don't know. It's like a real edge of your seat. There's a lot of tension in there. It's a fun one.
Edwin Hill was born and raised in New England and lives in Boston today. So he just does a fantastic job of setting that New England scene.
He gets the voice.
He gets it.
Speaking of doing a good job bringing you to the setting, I mean, we both spent some time in Maine, and this will bring you to Maine.
It will. Kemper Donovan, the busybody. You may have heard of Kemper Donovan. He is the host of the All About Agatha podcast, where he talks about every single Agatha Christie novel. He's had guests like Nita Prose, so many, Richard Osman. He's had so many guests on, and including like Agatha Christie scholars to talk about her books. So he decided to try his hand at his own mystery, and the end result was The Busybody, which stars a nameless ghostwriter. She is sent to Maine to help write the memoir of a failed presidential candidate. She lost the election, and so her name is Dorothy Chase Gibson. So she retreats to Maine to kind of figure out what she's doing next, and she decides she has to write a memoir. So the nameless ghostwriter goes up. And they are out in town one day. They go into a liquor store, and someone recognizes Dorothy, asks for her photo. And a couple days later, that woman is found dead. So Dorothy kind of starts to become obsessed with this woman's death. She starts making calls, of course, like she's a senator, so she's kind of able to get anyone to do what she wants. And so she ends up finding out from the coroner. She gets the coroner to, you know, bump this case up, finds out that this woman probably did not commit suicide. So Dorothy just becomes so obsessed with solving the murder instead of working on this memoir, and our nameless ghostwriter gets pulled along into it. It's very much like the humor of Kemper is very much like Veep, especially with the presidential candidate. So if you love Selena Meyer and co, you'll love this book. Not as much cursing as Veep, but still has that kind of feel to it.
It's really wry. I mean, the voice is just
very wry.
This ghostwriter narrator, whose name we don't learn, is she's so on and sarcastic and wry, and in the best way.
That's a really good way to describe it. She's just like on with her like sarcastic comments, and a lot of people have likened it to Knives Out, and unlike everyone else who likens their books to Knives Out, this one really is like Knives Out in the ending. So if you love Knives Out, you will love this book. It's a golden age literary mystery in the style of Agatha Christie, but set in a modern day setting. Just a great fun read. And what do you know? Kemper Donovan is also going to be at the Poison Pen on January 31st. So
that's coming right up.
So if you're in the area, please come out and say hi to Kemper.
And buy a book,
please.
Everyone, I think there's been so much enthusiasm around The Busybody. I love this book, and it's one of those books where everyone in the company thought, oh, I'll read a chapter in it, and then just couldn't put it down. One person after another, even people who aren't mystery readers. It's just a really fun read.
And the next one, I can't say much, but the next one is even like, when he told me that what it's going to be about, I was like, oh my God, I need to read it right now.
So the second book in the series starring the ghostwriter will come out in early 2020. Wait, what year is it now? Now it's 24, so early 2025. So we have a while to wait. All right. So something different from, certainly not set in Maine, certainly not Kemper Donovan-esque, The Other Mistress by Shanora Williams. So this is more, I would say, if you're a fan of Geneva Rose or Mary Kubica, you're going to love this. Really sexy, suspenseful, tons of twists in it. In this, a devoted wife with a seemingly perfect, a perfect life ends up having. I'm doing a poor job explaining this. Sorry. She's very well off. She's a self-made millionaire. She's got like this perfect life, but when she's betrayed by her husband, she makes an increasingly dangerous alliance with the other mistress. So it's sort of like rich people behaving badly, which I don't know is like a trope that I love. And Shenora's next book, The Bitter Truth, comes out this summer, and that one is even more rich people behaving badly. It revolves around a political candidate who is supposedly everyone thinks of him as very upstanding. This is the one non-crooked politician, a very determined stalker, and a very shattering lost weekend. All come together on the campaign trail. And meanwhile, this perfect politician's wife is going to extreme lengths to make sure that his name stays clean. Shenora, her books are just, they're really twisty, really turny. Good for Liv Constantine, Sally Hepworth, Taryn Fisher readers. You will love these. Anyone looking for more diversity in their thrillers are also going to enjoy these. She always has a great multicultural cast, and they're a fun read. And again, I'm not capable of turning PowerPoint slides and talking at the same time. Okay, Mark Cameron. We just wanted to kind of give you a slide showing you the series overall. Mark Cameron is a former U.S. Marshal himself. He is the coolest guy. And he writes this series that takes place in the wilds of Alaska and revolves around U.S. Marshal Arliss Cutter. And in each book, he is up against really bad guys and the rugged wilderness of Alaska, and they're both trying to kill him, and you're kind of wondering the whole time what's going to get him first. It's very man versus wild element. So if you're into like survivalist thrillers, you will love these. They're not apocalyptic, but some days in Alaska are kind of post-apocalyptic. I don't know, like there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on up there. Super authentic. They're written by U.S. Marshal. Mark Cameron's really the only guy who could possibly write this series. And they're just, they're really fun adventure thriller reads. And the whole reason why we were giving you this slide showing all of them is we originally published them in hardcover and are over the course of this year releasing them with these cool covers in trade paperback. So if you're a trade paperback reader, I recommend picking them up. And his books also, even though they're thriller, they do have a bit of a, because of the wilderness element, and Mark's writing, they have a, like, I would say they're like literary adjacent. So if you're a William Kent Kruger fan, you will probably enjoy these as well. Terry Parlato. So we published Terry Parlato's debut novel, All the Dark Places, in hardcover last winter. I, again, am having a very hard time telling what year it is. So January of last year. And we just released her second book, What Waits in the Woods, at the end of December. And both of them are great, dark reads. If you're a fan of Sherry Lapna, you will enjoy these. If you're a fan of Megan Miranda, you will enjoy these. The first one, All the Dark Places, we have a group of friends in, again, a Boston suburb. I feel like we're back in a Boston suburb, but in a whole different way. Something happens with this group of friends, and that ends up putting these two people whose perspectives we alternate throughout the book, this one woman and this female police officer, sort of on a collision course. When a woman with a traumatic past and a Boston police detective who is not going to stop at anything to get to the truth. Really great dual narrators and really interesting perspectives. You know, one is like this divorced 60-something woman, and she's coping with childhood trauma, and her husband is murdered in his office. I mean, crazy stuff. So it's a good one. The second book that just came out, What Waits in the Woods, is a little different, but again, you've got that suburban noir aspect because we are, again, in suburbs in New England. But this revolves around a young woman who had this very promising, brilliant career as a dancer in ballet, and an injury derails it. So all of a sudden, her future is completely lost to her. She has no idea what she's going to do, uncertain future. She returns to her hometown where she thinks, well, at least I know what to expect in my hometown. just as she gets there, she comes across a very grisly discovery, and that triggers a series of events that slowly but surely make it very clear to her that everything she thought she knew about her past is not real. So if you think you know your hometown like the back of your hand, you think you know who you are and where you came from, this book might make you start to question that. So Stacey Willingham readers, Greer Hendricks readers, Megan Miranda readers, this book is for you. What Waits in the Woods, it just came out. And Robin Geigel, I think I'm a little bit behind time here. So Robin Geigel, we're now getting a little bit further on in her series. So we have a slide here where we're showing all of them. These books are legal thrillers set in New Jersey, and they revolve around the protagonist is a transgender attorney in New Jersey who is written by, and Robin Geigel herself is a transgender attorney, so she knows whereof she writes. But it's not the fact that the character is trans is not the center of the story. It's just part of her identity is who she is. But it gives it that it's a different perspective that you don't often see in thrillers. And because these are legal thrillers written by someone who is herself a lawyer, they are just like crackling with authenticity. The protagonist is so real, multidimensional. They're gripping thrillers. Time Magazine named the third installment, which just came out, came out this last year, Remain Silent, named it a top 100 best mystery and thrillers of all times. I mean, that's an amazing endorsement. The first book in the series is By Way of Sorrow. Second is Survivor's Guilt. Third is Remain Silent. And the fourth one comes out this June, Nothing But the Truth. Another one where I feel like we're teasing you guys with these books that are not coming out until rather far in the future, but Omar Tyree, you've got a lot to look forward to this summer. Omar Tyree has come to the Kensington list with this thriller set in Atlanta. It revolves around six really talented people in the sort of the Atlanta music and entertainment scene, but dangerously toxic people. Who are successful and as I said, talented, but really disturbed. And it alternates between them as they push their psychologist to her own limits and beyond, and make her and each one of them separately and you question the whole notion of what do we really control in our lives. It's a fun one with, I just like these books with lots of alternating personalities where you really are put in the heads of these other characters, because it takes a twisty, suspenseful read and just makes it all that more kind of breakneck. So this one doesn't come out for a while, but put it on your to-read list. And next up, we have Charlie Don Lee. I don't know. Do we have a visitor, another visitor here? No, maybe he's having technical difficulties. So Charlie Don Lee is one of my favorite authors at Kensington. Maybe do we have a visitor who's come into the room? I'm hearing something. I don't know.
I'm coming.
I hear a voice. Okay, that's amazing. So just when I thought I didn't know what to expect next, Charlie Don Lee is here with us to tell us about his most recent book, Those Empty Eyes, as well as the one that's coming out in a couple months.
Well, hello, Poison Pen. I'm coming to you from a Starbucks because I had to pull over because I'm trapped in Chicago traffic. So in addition to the Poison Pen, everyone in Starbucks is going to get to hear about my book. So, so I won't keep you too long because I know we're at the end. But my current thriller, which is Those Empty Eyes, is out in hardback right now, and it comes out in paperback on April 23rd. Because I'm promoting myself I promised Vita I would do this. Those Empty Eyes was an Apple Books Best of the Month, a Pop Sugars Best Thriller of the Season, a BuzzFeed News Best Thriller of the Season, a New York Post Best Thriller of the Season, and received a starred review from the from Publishers Weekly. See, Vita, that's self-promotion.
Nice, you got it. I'm checking the bullet hat points in my head. Yes. You nailed it.
So Those Empty Eyes, the log line is 10 years after she was exonerated for the slaughter of her family, the girl the tabloids called Empty Eyes is the only one looking for the truth. 10 years ago, Alex Armstrong was accused of slaughtering her family. A very public trial followed that eventually exonerated her, but the damage had already been done. The tabloids dubbed her Empty Eyes, and true crime fanatics forced her into hiding. Now, 10 years later, Alex has changed everything about herself and is a legal investigator working to prevent wrongful convictions. When she stumbles onto a case that has mysterious connections to the night her family was killed, she sets out to use her investigative skills to find the truth about that fateful night. In doing so, she learns that no one in her new life is quite who they seem to be. So that's Those Empty Eyes. It's out now. It's gotten some really great reviews. And
it's a fun. So Those Empty Eyes, I have to say, as I was reading it, I had a really hard time accepting that this was not a real case. I kept going, okay, I kept wanting to, because I am a true, I'm part of the problem that this book explores. I am a true crime junkie. So I kept Googling this main character and thinking, oh, well, maybe this was something real. Maybe that was something real. And then of course I had to like recreate her crime board. I'm going to say I did it in my head, but I didn't. I did it in real life. I mean, this book, you guys will be totally sucked in. You are in the world of this story while you're reading it.
I love that, Vita. You recreated the evidence board that the character created in her story. I love it.
A little crazy.
No, that's what a publicist is for. Okay, so that comes out, it's out now. It comes out in paperback April 23rd. My newest thriller, which is called Long Time Gone, that will come out in hardcover May 21st. And Long Time Gone is my, it sort of delves into the science of forensic genealogy, which is the science that solved a number of recent cold cases, including, and most famously, the Golden State Killer from California. They used forensic genealogy to figure that out. So when Dr. Sloan Hastings submits her DNA to an online genealogy site as part of a research project, her DNA profile comes back suggesting her true identity is that of Charlotte Margolis, AKA Baby Charlotte, an infant who captured the attention of the nation when she mysteriously disappeared along with her parents in 1995. Despite an exhaustive investigation, the family was never seen again. With a burning desire to learn what happened to her birth parents, Sloan heads to the site of her disappearance, a small town in the Sierra Nevada mountains, to find answers. Slowly, Sloan begins to learn about her biological parents and soon finds a graveyard of secrets buried in the small town where she disappeared. And the more she digs, the more she understands that there are people who are desperate to keep those secrets deep underground. So that's the newest one, comes out in May. And that one's actually kind of more, I think, ripped from the headlines than even Those Empty Eyes is, because that one's kind of, there was a story just on Dateline, which I had never heard the story before, called Baby Charlotte, and, Baby Holly, and I was watching.
I was going to say, not the same name.
Yeah, Baby Holly. I was watching Dateline. I actually texted my agent. I was like, this is what I just submitted the manuscript about. So a little different story, but still using forensic genealogy to discover what happened to her parents. She and her parents disappeared when they were little. So when she was little, so sort of a similar idea.
It's so wild. You know, when 23andMe first came out, I thought, oh, this is fun. I'll learn some things. And sent away my DNA, not thinking anything of it. And my very paranoid brother was so mad. He thought he was like, how could you do that? You don't know who has that information now. I said, I don't have anything to hide. He's like, but you don't know who does. Maybe we have a cousin out there who's like family members, or, you know, exactly. He's like, you just outed our killer cousin. So it is very, you know, even though I think most of us probably don't find out that we were that baby that the tabloid was obsessed with 30 years ago when disappeared without a trace. It is relatable, this idea of you sent away for some information about your genetic history and you don't know what family secrets you're really going to uncover. And she really uncovers some doozies in this one.
For sure. And actually, that's how I got onto this story was I read about the Golden State Killer, which is the genealogy investigator just put his DNA, I mean, unidentified DNA into a database of just users, not a criminal database, and came up with a match to someone who was a close relative. And then they started tracing backwards to find what family this guy belonged to, and then started investigating from there. And that's how he was caught. So this sort of explores the science of forensic genealogy and obviously adds some fiction to it. But yeah, it's a fun story for sure.
It is a really fun one. So this is available for pre-order, everyone. You can pre-order it. And in the meantime, if you haven't picked up Those Empty Eyes, please do. They're both standalones, but you might find some little Easter eggs connecting them and some of Charlie's previous books. So you might as well read them all while you're waiting for Long Time Gone to come out. And thank you so much, Charlie, for ducking into the Starbucks. I mean, you win the prize. I feel like if your car is like double parked outside with the red blinkers on.
I know it's I'm telling you, everyone around here is listening, so they'll I'm doing some good self-promotion in Chicago too.
Oh gosh, well thank you so much, we'll let you get home. Thank you for jumping on at the end of a long day.
Yeah, thanks Poison Pen, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks Vita, we'll talk soon. Okay,
bye-bye. We have to love the technology and the joys of technology that allow us to connect virtually and also allow us to find these serial killers. So I know we're getting close to the end here. We just want to stop with just one more thing or two. Two more really quick things. So stick around, please. We're almost there. These are two books that they didn't really fit with our other categories. One, for obvious reasons, it's nonfiction and the only nonfiction book we'll be talking about. This book, to me, I mean, this author wins for the craziest name. His name is McCracken Poston Jr., which is just, I can't get enough of.
I'm obsessed with it.
But this book is Southern true crime. I mean, if you, like me, have a permanent space in your heart for Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, you will appreciate this book very much. It's sort of, in terms of the reading, it reads like a nonfiction John Grisham thriller, but with some echoes of like Rain Man in there. You've got this captivating small town setting and this Southern storyteller, McCracken Poston Jr., who is an attorney who was involved with this case. As an idealistic young lawyer, he became determined to free a client who he was convinced was innocent, although he had been accused of murdering the wife that nobody even knew he had in the first place. And McCracken Poston Jr., as his lawyer, goes to great lengths to gain his freedom. But in so doing, it explores a lot of, you know, you realize as you're reading it that his client is really, if this case had happened today, he probably would have been labeled as autistic, you know. So you've got a lot of questions of neurodiversity and the criminal justice system and how we can better serve neurodiverse people in the criminal justice system and how the system has completely done disservices to people in the past. You also have really eccentric I call them characters, even though it's nonfiction, and I shouldn't because they're real people, but just, you've got a real eccentric cast of people in this story. So it's a really fun, entertaining read. It is definitely Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil-esque. It takes place in this like really little town in Ringgold in Northwest Georgia. And yeah, it's a town with a lot of history that some of it very tragic that is echoed in this very tragic, but ultimately positive case that this book explores. And then we're going to end with something really spicy. So Rebecca Zanetti, so if you like romanticy, you know, the big romanticy trend right now, this is for you, but this book it's X-rated. So if you're in like a mother-daughter book club, this is not the book to read. This very, very spicy book. It's set in an alternate near future Silicon Valley. So, you know, it's not dystopian. It could be reality, but basically it's a world that is controlled by these four very powerful media companies. So right now it doesn't sound like an alternate world, yeah. You know, so the world's controlled by four very powerful media companies, but they're each owned by these different kind of mafia-like families who are constantly fighting for control. So you have these like elements of Succession in there, and that you've got this family infighting and these super elite, super powerful, super detached from reality people battling it out. And so that's the world that it's set in, but it's also a bit of a Beauty and the Beast retelling, because you've got the CEO of one company who has this dark obsession with the daughter of the owner of another company. So there's maybe a bit of a kidnapping involved, and it gets really heated. But if you love romanticy, you're going to love this. And we will be releasing it in trade paperback this summer. We will also be doing a special exclusive, a special limited edition hardcover with gorgeous sprayed edges, special exclusive end papers, a foiled cover, a reversible dust jacket. And that will be available hopefully at Poison Pen, but
definitely, you can check yes.
it out. Yeah, yeah, we will definitely have it at Poison Pen too. So you can pick it up in trade paper or in hardcover, and both of those come out June 25th. And that is the spicy note we're ending on. But thank you. We're not too far behind time. I think maybe our speed talking worked, as rambling as we were at the end of the day here. But thank you so much, Poison Pen, for having us.
And thank you.
Those of you who have come to listen, or those of you who watch the recordings, we really love our readers, and we love having the opportunity to talk about mysteries with you. And thank you to our authors who beamed in and made their surprise guest star visits.
I also dropped me and Vita's email addresses in the comments of the video on Facebook, and I also dropped the link to the Kensington Cozies booklet in the comments as well. There's a lot of comments, so you're gonna have to
that terrifies me. I didn't even think to look at comment. Oh no, I've been doing this whole time thinking nobody will watch it. Oh god.
Thank you, Larissa and Vita. You're both fonts of knowledge, fonts of wisdom, fonts of entertainment. We can't thank you enough for sharing your expertise with us at the Poison Pen and our customers, and your peeks at what's coming in the future. And I'll just end by saying it's never too early to pre-order. You can always pre-order at your local bookstore, library. You can suggest they purchase at libraries or at the Poison Pen. And that really is the best way to support your favorite authors.
Hello. We hope you're enjoying our programs and podcasts with authors. We'd like to expand them, and your help would be appreciated. Please make a donation at poisonedpenfoundation.org. 100% of the proceeds will go to help connect authors with readers in this difficult time. Thank you.